Thank you so much, and everyone, welcome. This is the regular meeting of the Morro Bay Public Works Advisory Board. Today is Wednesday, May 15th, and we'll start by calling the meeting to order with a quorum check.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to everyone. Let's see, we'll go Board Member Dahlgren.
Here.
Board Member Hill.
Here.
Board Member Goldman.
Here.
Board Member Nava.
Here.
Board Member Gaffney.
Here.
Board Member Irwin.
Here.
And Chair Beal.
Here.
We have quorum.
Great, thank you. Our next item is for us to invite everyone to join us for just a moment of silence before we begin. And thank you. Next, we have the Pledge of Allegiance. If anyone would like to volunteer to lead us, or we can all jump in. Next, we will ask if there are any, let's do board member announcements first and then Public Works. Any board members? Okay, Public Works Director Qualick.
Thank you. No major announcements today.
Very good. Next, we will open the floor to public comment. This is meant particularly for comment on any matters that are not otherwise represented on our agenda for today. And that would include if anyone has comments on the items under Agenda A, which are approval of meeting minutes.
Good evening. Hi, I'm Walter Heath. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. Good evening, members of the Public Works Advisory Board. I just wanted to fill you in that an event occurred on April 27th, 2024, called I Love Morro Bay. And it was a first time that we've done this with America in Bloom. We produced this event to do 9 gardening projects in the public spaces, including planting 14 street trees, planting 4 pollinator gardens, cleaning up downtown beneath the flowering eucalyptus trees in advance of the car show, and doing one really fun community art project that was done. But I do want to thank Public Works Director Qualick and his staff, especially the maintenance staff, Carlos Mendoza, and his team. Just amazing. They prepared everything for the street tree planting. Just had to put the tree in the hole. It was really great, and it was done properly with the advice of what turns out to be a world-renowned tree expert who moved from Visalia to Morro Bay, and we happened to make contact as a result of recruitment for this event. So also on hand were City Manager Kimball and City Engineer Cynthia Cecil, who's here tonight. Police Chief Watkins was there, and it was great to see all of them there. There were 156 volunteers out there altogether, performing 312 community service hours, which is more than 2 months of full-time work done in 2 hours. That's our 2-hour participation model. So we were pleased with the way that turned out. The primary focus was community building through shared service, the idea that you get people out working together, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, and the differences go away. People realize that they have more in common than they have different. And of course, we're hoping to get some volunteers out of it, some new volunteers too. We're always thinking about succession. We're almost 11 years old now, and we want folks coming up and taking this on as well. So the way that we work is we purchase all the plants we install, and then we install them. And then we care for those plants in the area surrounding them. So we're constantly fundraising. And as part of the deal, we rebranded for I Love Morro Bay. And I'm wearing the brand right now. And the hoodies and tees and stickers and magnets are being sold at Morro Made at 490 Morro Bay Boulevard, the corner of Napa. And that's pretty much it. I'll stick around if you have any questions after the public comment. But we were out there working for 5 hours today trying to get the area around Beach and Front ready for the Ironman competition and finishing up a project there.
Well, thank you very much. I heard great things about that. Any questions? Okay. Yes, thank you so much. So moving on to our agenda. Our consent agenda is
Chair,
item...
If I may...
yes, of course.
If you could check if there's anyone online for a public comment.
I'm almost put it in the rearview mirror.
It's okay.
Thank you so much. Do we have anyone online that would like to comment at this time?
We have no raised hands in the queue.
Okay. Apologies for that, all of our online viewers. Now we will go on to... Would you like to comment?
Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for your dedication to Morro Bay. My name is Linda Merrill. Lived here 45 years. I have a real interest in keeping Morro Bay a good place in which to live, and I want to welcome Cindy to our working in the city. And Greg, you always do a great job helping us all keep this place cleaned up. I want to thank you very much for all of your hard work on the creek cleanup and Quintana. I think that's been on everyone's mind. We go by there and we have really felt saddened that it was such a mess, and so I think that's a big relief for everybody in the city. So anyway, thank you all for your dedication, and I watch you on TV, so I'll know what you're up to. So thanks a lot for doing this. Good evening.
Well, thank you for coming to comment and share that with us.
Chair, may I speak to that last public comment for a moment, because I don't want to take credit for the Quintana cleanup. That really was the fire department. The Public Works Department has been involved, and there's been phases to this, and we have been involved in some of the phases, but this last phase was really the fire department. They had a fuels cleanup. I believe it's some sort of grant program, and so they did implement that, and they did take care of that the other day, and I agree, it looks great. Just wanted to make sure that that credit went to them.
Very good. So agenda item A, we can pass without discussion unless any of the board members would like to pull one of those items for discussion. This pertains to approval of the regular meeting minutes from February 21st, 2024, and the joint meeting that was held on April 17th, 2024. Okay, we have a motion.
And apologies, Chair. We would need to take public comment for the consent calendar as well.
That's normally done during, under the public comment that comes before the agenda items.
So we have the general
public. Anyway, comment. Do we have any public comments at this time?
EGP. AGP, do we have public comment?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
I believe we were determining approval of meeting minutes from February 21st and April 17th.
Approve both sets of meeting minutes.
Second?
I'll second.
In favor? Aye.
And yeah, I'll do a roll call vote. And so board member Nava?
Aye.
Board member Gaffney?
Aye.
Board member Hill?
Yes.
Board member Irwin?
Yes.
Board member Goldman?
Yes.
Yes.
Board Member Dahlgren?
Yes.
And Chair Beal?
Aye, yes.
Motion passes.
For business items, we have one business item, B1, allocation of water equivalency units for the year, fiscal year 2024 to 2025. Is there a presentation?
Thank you, Chair Beal. There is, and let me just try to pull it up here. And while this comes up, we did have another item for review by the PWAB, but we did have to pull it, and that was because we didn't notify the neighborhood that decision would have affected. That was my fault. And so we will be bringing that in June, assuming that we can. And from what I'm seeing, currently the city does not have that as a holiday. So why is this not coming up? Oh, it did come up. So just wanted to let you all know that. And so we only have this one item today as a business item, and it is the allocation of water equivalency units for fiscal year 24-25. If you've, for the PWAB members that have been on the PWAB for some time, you know that this comes every year in May or June. It's a requirement in the municipal code that this is brought to the Public Works Advisory Board and the Planning Commission and ultimately to the City Council for an allocation of these water equivalency units. More on that later. We'll talk about our water supply background, our current conservation requirements, and then a little bit more detail about water equivalency units and the recommended allocation for tonight. So why is that not following the, let me try this again. Yeah, it's not, it's just stuck on one of the slides.
Is Rita at the potluck dinner? I'm trying to decide if I want to or not. Or do I just want to go home and be done for the day?
You might like to chat. Plenty of food.
I help with Morro Bay and Bloom every Wednesday and Saturday. And so this morning we were, like you said, down on the waterfront. Replanting geranium.
I'm always like jamming.
You missed Okay, we're back in action. So the presentation outline will be reviewing the city's water supply. We'll talk about our current conservation requirements and then the recommended action on the water equivalency units. So as most of you know, or all of you know, our main water supply is through the State Water Project. Morro Bay is actually a subcontractor to the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. The district is the contractor with State Water Project, and we're the subcontractor to the district. The district receives 25,000 acre feet allocation per year from the Department of Water Resources at the state. And then the city and 10 other subcontractors have contract to deliver up to 4,830 acre feet per year. And an additional 5,707 acre feet per year as a drought buffer. And that leaves a remaining 14,463 acre feet of the district's, should be an apostrophe S, State Water Project allocation. And that's called the district's unsubscribed allocation. And we recently, prior to the past two winters, were in a pretty severe drought. And actually, the city ran out of its state water allocation, and the county district was basically saving the day and giving us their saved unsubscribed allocation. And so the city continued to have water. And here's just a visual of where the California Aqueduct branches off into the coastal branch, makes its way through Devil's Den up to Polonio Pass in San Luis Obispo County, and the water's treated there, and then comes down gravity all the way down down the grade. And then, of course, Morro Bay is on the Chora Valley pipeline, which is kind of a break off on the left there. And then the rest of the water goes down south. So that's how the State Water Project works. Good news, this year, the current state water allocation is 40%. With our drought buffer, that means we have access to 1,441.2 acre feet of water through the State Water Project. The city demand is only 1,100, so we have enough water. And our backup water supply is the Morro Basin. And we have 7 wells. That's kind of in the Lila Kaiser High School area where those wells are. The city is permitted to extract up to 581 acre feet of water from that basin. And Morro Bay's extraction right only provides half the amount of water to fulfill city demand. If that was the only water supply we had, we would not have enough water for the city. Because as we mentioned earlier, our demand is around 1,100 acre feet. And the Morro Basin also has elevated levels of nitrates, and therefore it is treated through the brackish water reverse osmosis system we have there. And when we put water through that treatment process, we lose about 25% of it. Yeah, so if you do 25% of 581, I think it's somewhere around 425 acre feet that we can actually produce of potable water from the basin. And so we will use that this year. We will not use all of the 1441.2, first of all, because it's above our demand. But as, again, most of you know, state water shuts down every November for maintenance. Sometimes it's a 2-week shutdown. Sometimes it's a 4 or 5 week shutdown, just depending on what they're doing. We haven't been notified otherwise, so we were going to assume that there will be a shutdown this year. And when state water shuts down, we go to our groundwater supply for that month. And sometimes residents will call and say that the water smells funny. It just smells a little bit different than state water, so, and tastes a little bit different. So that's our water supply. We're in good shape this year, which we're happy to report. And before I move on, I'll mention, you know, we do have this recycled water project, and some of you may have seen that we are we had an RFP out for design of the recycled water facilities, and we also have an RFP out right now for Hydrogeo for the same project. That's moving along. We're expecting to complete that project towards the end of 2026. We've got about two and a half years left. And we hope to supplement that 581 there when we need to. And so, yeah, we'll see. We'll see where that goes, and we'll be bringing more information about that to the PWEB. Water conservation, the winter storms of last year and this year dramatically changed the drought conditions that had a lot of us in the business nervous about our water supply. So mostly because there was not a whole lot of snowpack for a few years, and our state water comes from essentially snowpack from the Sierras. And we did have some pretty strict conservation efforts in place. However, last year, April 25th, we did reduce those requirements, and so we are now at moderately restricted conditions. We haven't changed that since last year, and those that level of restriction means that folks can irrigate their lawns every day of the week, but it's still restricted between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. It can only be done outside those hours. So, again, with the water conservation, reduced demand, and water supply, we're in good shape. We don't really have any concerns about development coming in and taking all of our water. So what are water equivalency units? Where did it come from? Citizens adopted Measure F in 1984, and it was supposed to be a growth management system. This is not something that the city council or staff can overturn. It could only be overturned by another measure. And the idea was to regulate the addition of new water users into the city's water system. It also aimed to ensure the demand for water does not exceed available water supply. What is a WEU? Excuse me. It is a measurement of water use equal to the average amount of water used by a single family residence over the period of 1 year. And we have that as 0.2 acre feet. So the average single family residence uses 0.2 acre feet. And that's based off of an assumption of 90 gallons per capita per day and a household of 1.9 persons per unit. Importantly, the WEUs are issued during planning permit approvals. They used to be issued during building permit approvals, and that was kind of against the point of the WEUs, because if we're trying to limit growth to stay in line with water supply, if you're at the building permit phase already, you're kind of too late. The city's already approved a development project and then is going to stop it in the middle of it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So a few years ago, the city moved the WEU process as part of the planning phase. You know, the other issue there, and this is one of the challenges to explain, is WEUs really look at our long-term water supply. So I presented information about our short-term water supply here and talked about what our water supply looks like for the upcoming year. And, you know, we don't really have any concerns. But WEUs really shouldn't be seen as a kind of a short-term thing. I mean, we have enough water supply where we have an idea to project out what our water outlook is, and we really aren't basing these decisions on what happened this year or last year, but more what's going to happen over the next 10 or 20 years. So last fiscal year, the City Council allocated 115 water equivalency units for development. Of the allocated WEUs, only 21.6 were issued. And that was 2 single-family residential, 5 multifamily residential, and 14.6 commercial developments. That is like a quarter or even less, maybe 18% or so of the total that were allocated by the city council. And I gotta say, you know, since I've been here, we never come anywhere close to actually allocating to planning projects the number that has been allocated by the city council. Last year, we did 21.6. The year before that, we only had one WEU out of the 115 that were available. That said, WEUs, I mean, this is not a comprehensive list of all building activity. They're only required for single-family residential and multifamily residential when development is on an empty lot or when a change in use is proposed, i.e. changing from an office building to an apartment. So if there's like an addition to a home, that's not, there's no WEU review. If there's an ADU, accessory dwelling unit, there is no WEU issued. It's only when land is being used for something different or if there was nothing there and now we're putting a house in. So that's kind of the way the code is written, and it's also based on some state regulations about ADUs and things like that. So, I mean, with that, the staff is recommending that we allocate the same number of WEUs that we recommend every year and that we've recommended every year, even during drought years. And that's 50 WEUs for residential development, with 30 going to single-family residential and 20 going to multifamily residential, and 65 WEUs for commercial development, for a total of 115 WEUs for the next fiscal year. And we'll take any questions.
Thank you so much for the presentation. I'll start. I have a few questions. I understand you explained that this is intended to be for based on long-term planning. There's obviously some things that aren't captured by the WEU plan, like the ADUs, et cetera. Is the city, well, I'm sure you have the data, but are you able to do some sort of monitoring of actual usage and how that compares with the WEU allocation? And then on top of that, maybe make some correlation between like how additional ADUs or other increases in usage that aren't captured in the formula, how that translates like in for the actual, you know, for the ultimate purpose of, you know, ensuring adequate water. Clearly some of this doesn't account necessarily for that, but I'm gonna also guess that actual usage is below what's being allocated, so maybe it's not something of concern, but that's a question that I have.
Thank you for the question, Chair Beal. Short answer, yes, we could do that data analysis. I don't think it would be a huge lift. We have data on how much water we use, and we have, you know, that data over many years, and we have data from our staff reports in terms of how many WEUs were issued. I would venture to say that there are more swings in water usage per year, depending on how the tourist season goes, than there are from the WEUs and the new development. There are some years if our tourism is low, I mean that, I'm not gonna make up numbers, but you can imagine if the hotels and the motels are 50% full one year and they're 100% full the next year, that's gonna be a very dramatic shift in water usage. Whereas, you know, as we presented, one WEU is 0.2 acre feet, and that's like, you know, out of 1,100 acre feet, it's actually not really very much of a difference. We get this question a lot with, oh, you know, we're putting in the Palisades development or another development, what's the impact going to be on water? It's actually not a whole lot. It might be at most, you know, 10 or 20 acre feet. but we don't come anywhere near our state water allocation. You know, we have surplus water most years. Even the years where we don't have it, I mean, we've managed with county water. So it's kind of a roundabout way of saying, yeah, we could do that. I'm not sure that there's a need to, unless the PWAB was interested in seeing that data.
No, actually, you answered my question. I think I was sort of guessing, at least from the presentation, that this was basically a low priority because you weren't foreseeing difficulties in, you know, water limitations. You did put in mind, though, sorry, one more question. I'll let my board members have their turn. If a business, for example, that caters to tourism, like a hotel, would their allocation theoretically account for 100% occupancy, or is there some other formula that would apply there?
Tough question to answer. It depends on the hotel, and keeping in mind that WEUs are only issued to new developments. And so if a motel was built in the 70s, there is no WEU for that hotel or motel. I do think there's a perception that WEUs is sort of an inventory of water demand. It is absolutely not. It really is, as certain new developments come through, not all, certain ones come through, and in the case of commercial, if it was a hotel that was built on vacant land or if it was changed from a residential use, for example, then it would be. Then it wouldn't be captured and it wouldn't be on our radar. I would argue that the best indicator of water demand would be a projection that staff would put together based on actual water usage. And the WEU is not really helpful in that regard.
Greg, I have a question. I wanted to know about this change to the WEU that was made in 2016. And the reason I was curious is because I crunched the numbers to see how it compares to my average water bill at my home. And the WEU was adjusted to about 7 billing units per month, which is high for my home, but my home's changed a bit over the years. I've gotten rid of some turf, things like that, and one of my kids are growing and moving out. What was it before it was calculated down to this 8732 cubic feet? How much did it change? And will there be another recalculation as more homes convert to drought-tolerant landscapes and high-efficiency water systems in their homes?
It's a good question. We don't have that data with us, and maybe next year we could put that in there, because I think it is an interesting thing to look at. It's based mostly on water conservation, and part of that is turf removal, but also, you know, the city puts out like little messaging tents on at restaurants to not serve water unless requested, and there's notes to that the city had motels put in near the towels and the showers and the rooms where, you know, we won't wash the towels unless you throw them on the floor, that kind of thing. And I think we actually did bring this to PWAB last time, or maybe it was 2 years ago, and we showed the curve of water demand in the city. And, you know, the population hasn't decreased. It's increased slightly. But over time, through the 2010s, you just saw demand go down, and that was because of water conservation efforts. And that's why the recalculation occurred. So, but I don't have that number for you. I can email that to the PWAB this week sometime or next week. I think John had a question. Yeah.
If I remember an explanation from before your time, this WEU process was as much to slow down the city growth as it was to, you know, they were worried about water at the time, but they also didn't want to see that there were some large developments proposed, apparently, and they wanted to slow that down. And I take it that if we transfer or if we start using the recycled water, that's not going to affect our WEU calculations. Is that right?
Good question, Board Member Irwin. No, it wouldn't. I mean, nothing would unless there was another measure. I would say, and I'll tread lightly here, but I don't really know what legal standing we would have to defend this Measure F. The population control through water supply isn't, you know, unless the city demonstrates that we don't have the water, that could probably pretty easily be challenged. And further, Measure F was passed in 1984, and the goal was to limit population growth to something like 12,200 population in the city by the year 2000. Well, it's 24 years after, and we still haven't hit 12,200. So, you know, one could argue that this Measure F has actually expired. We've been continuing the practice of bringing this every year to this body and the Planning Commission, as well as the City Council. But there are certainly some questions about what exactly the law means in terms of how it's implemented.
Thank you.
I just had a question. Does the state water allocation like increase every year, or does it get like reviewed like on a yearly basis based on like rainfall, or is it, you know, like to account for population growth?
Thank you for the question, Board Member Gaffney. The state is regularly reviewing the allocation, and their first one typically comes out around November, and they'll give usually a lowball allocation, like everyone's only getting 10% this year, and then sometimes in January they'll update it, in March they'll update it. I think we may still be due for another update. If I recall, at the beginning of the season, the winter season, I think they said 30 or 35%, and now we're at 40. And it may go up again. What the state is looking at when they set this allocation is the status of their reservoirs, the status of the snowpack, and other factors that affect their ability to deliver water. They don't want to overpromise the water. They also want to keep some in storage, but not too much storage, because then they have to spill it. And then, of course, they're also looking at environmental factors like steelhead and you know, how much water they can actually put into some of these conveyance systems.
Do we know if the proposal for Los Osos to tie into the same pipeline that we're tied into, is that going to affect our allocation from the state?
Thank you for the question, Board Member Hill. It better not, because we have a contractual promise to receive 1,313 acre feet per year at 100% allocation. And I've asked this question of the district, and they have confirmed that if another subcontractor gets linked up to the Choro Valley pipeline, that will not affect the city's allocation. Now, there is questions about what is the capacity of that pipeline. And that's when you sort of get into the details, and the engineers disagree. But, you know, with any pipeline, there are limitations. And I have seen documents that show that there was an extra 600 acre feet per year built into the capacity for that Choro Valley pipeline, and, you know, beyond what the current users use. I have heard arguments against that that's not correct. We also know that with a pipe, if you want to increase capacity, you increase velocity. And so that is always an option. But, you know, not something I think we're too concerned about right now. The Los Osos district is, I believe they've approved their environmental document. their next step is likely going to be design. I have not heard definitively from the district that it's actually going to happen. There's still a lot of questions in the air about what it means. The city contributed a lot of money, I think 30 years of loan payments, towards that pipeline. And we certainly would have questions about a new user coming in and you know, what their financial participation would be if they participate in that conveyance line. And sorry, I may be going off track here, but to answer your question, we're not concerned. I think Los Osos is only asking for 200 acre feet per year or 300. I don't remember off the top of my head, but the city's allocation is 13, but we only use around 1050 or 11 at most. And so we're not using all the capacity now. If we ever needed it, though, in my view and in the city's view, we would still be guaranteed. So we have contractual protections for that water supply amount of 13.
Greg, I'm Mr. Qualick, excuse me. I've heard this every year, and I think I understand it for the minute, and then I get confused. So we have a contract from the state to get 1,300 acre feet. But already they said that, you said at the beginning of the slide presentation, that we're getting only 40%. So we're getting 40% of the 1,300, and then we can provide 581 or something.
So,
and sometimes I've been on this board and we only get 5%. It's been drought year, but we always have water. So are these numbers relating to the amount of water that we're getting, that it ends up that we get?
Yeah, it's pretty miraculous that we get all these numbers thrown at us and somehow we always meet demand. But you said a few things there, and let me try to comment, and if I miss anything, let me know, Board Member Goldman. But first of all, we don't have a contract directly with the state. We have a subcontract through the district who has a contract with the state. We have an allocation, and I pulled this backup slide here. We have an allocation of, let's see, do I have a laser pointer here? No. But yeah, we have that 1313 WSA, that's our water service amount. You see, we're the biggest in Slo County, actually, for state water. And then we have this thing called the drought buffer. The drought buffer is a very confusing, misleading term. That's not an extra 2,300 acre feet per year. What happens is the state comes out with their allocation amount. This year it's 40%. So if you want to calculate how much state water we have access to this year, you add our water service amount, or the 1313, plus the 2290, which gives you 3603, and then you multiply that by 40%. And if you do that calculation, what you get is, because I've done the math for you, is 1441.2. So if the state had said this year you're only getting 30%, we'd have a different number. It'd be a bit lower. And so that drought buffer is something that the city purchases on top of our regular Table A, what they call the Table A allocation. Now, if it was 5%, I'll do the math quickly on my phone. If we have, and for those of you watching at home, I'm sorry, but you can do this math too. We can do 3603 times 0.05, and that only gives us 180 acre feet per year. And then you do the math, and I wouldn't even put in the 581. I'd put in the 425. That's after treatment. So we would basically have around 610 or so acre feet that year, which is about, it's a little more than half our supply. Where does the rest of the water come from? I'm sorry?
From the wells.
No, the wells are the 425. We've only got 180 from state, and that's giving us 600 and change. We need another 500. Where do we get it? We get it from, down at the bottom, the unsubscribed allocation. Historically, the county, the district, has made all of the subcontractors whole. And because that 14463, every year that it's not used, it sits in San Luis Reservoir and it gets stored. And it gets stored until the reservoir fills up. And as long as there's storage there, and our unused allocation, not the drought buffer, but our unused allocation also gets stored in San Luis Reservoir. San Luis Reservoir, of course, is not in San Luis Obispo County, but it's north of us, I think in Monterey County. So we do have our own storage every year, and then we also have the county storage. However, the complicated thing about state water is that every few years, that stored water from San Luis Reservoir gets deleted. It just literally goes to zero, and that's called spilling. It's a paper spill. It's not an actual physical spill. And the state transfers water around, and we may have had 3,000 acre feet stored, and then one year, all of a sudden, it just zeroed out. And that is one of the vulnerabilities of state water. It's not reliable. We don't have guarantees for the stored water. One could even argue that that water isn't even ours, because our water allocation is delivered water. So it's what comes out of the pipe here at near the King's Tank. So far, we've been able to supply water, though, because of the county's stored allocation. Hope I didn't confuse things.
Greg, I have one more question about the WEUs. We haven't heard about the La Colima project that has been discussed in the past, and that's that would be considered commercial use of water, and what they initially requested of us, we never really saw anything on that. Is that still in discussions, and do we have enough allocation this year and each year to potentially answer their request?
I apologize, which project?
The La Colima, which is out Highway 41 outside of the city limits.
Yes. The Rancho Colina?
Rancho Colima.
Oh. Yeah, we haven't looked at that. Strictly speaking, that may not be affected by Measure F because it's not a new development. We'd be absorbing it into the system. So that's something we'd have to look at. Yeah, I think that would take some analysis. I wouldn't be prepared to answer that now. And, you know, part of the feasibility study would be looking at that now that I'm aware of that, because I don't think anybody was thinking that, so thank you.
I have a quick follow-up. So I just wanted to get it all into my head. So I'm looking at the municipal code, and so that's where it states that the director would be responsible for periodically updating the basis for the WEUs and for the table and making adjustments. So is 2016, was that the last time that adjustments were made?
Yes.
And then it's the basis for the adjustment, it has to do with significant changes of water consumption by land use type. Is there any guidance that you would follow in trying to decide when to make those changes?
We would look at the data on that. We didn't do that this year, to be honest, but yeah, we would periodically look at the data and decide, you know, if all of a sudden people are using more water, then we'd want to change that calculation.
Okay, that's all I had. Anyone else have further questions? So we have no more questions from the board. That means we are ready to take public comment. If anyone would like to comment on this agenda item. I don't see anyone in the audience. Let me ask if there is anyone online that would like to make a public comment on this time.
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Okay, thank you. I believe that next we would take some action to make a recommendation to the city.
I move that we approve the proposed allocation of WEUs.
I'll second that.
Any board discussion on the motion? Are we ready to vote? Okay.
Thank you. Do a roll call vote. Board Member Dahlgren?
Yes.
Board Member Goldman?
Yes.
Board Member Irwin?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Gaffney?
Yes.
Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Chair Beal?
Yes.
7-0. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. So that concludes our business items for today. Under Agenda C, there's a list of some future items. Would you like to speak to those?
I can briefly, Chair. We have a few traffic requests that we've been holding that, you know, we've taken these periodically to the PWAB. One involves a proposal to add diagonal parking on Marina and or Pacific next to the Embarcadero. That could increase some parking capacity. We're doing an analysis of that. There's a proposal to add a stop sign at the eastern entrance or on Atascadero Road at the intersection with the eastern entrance of the high school so that buses can get by when cars are coming from the west. A stop sign at Dunes and Main, or two stop signs, and pavement management program updates. We'd like to give an update on that soon. And then also the Haslow project, we want to get PWAB's input on the on some red curbs and no parking zones. The new project has created some new configurations along the road there, and it has some implications on parking. Plus, we had a request from Haslow to put in a bunch of red curbing, and we've done some of that already. But as we were there, we looked at it, and we think it might need a whole lot more red curb. So those are items we hope to bring in the future, some of them in June.
Very good, thank you.
Greg, you want to introduce Cindy?
Is this your first PWAB meeting? She was introduced last time, but I'm happy to. So nice, we'll do it twice.
A few of us weren't here, so please.
Cindy Cecil is our new city engineer. She started the beginning of April 1st, April Fool's Day. So Cindy comes with over 40 years of experience in the consulting world, in the utility world. She's worked for counties, and just a very impressive resume. She has a PE in civil and structural, and just has been a great addition to the team. Calm, steady temperament, hard work ethic, and just a joy to be around. She also does some baking sometimes that staff benefits from. And would you like to say anything?
I think he covered it all.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, unless I missed anything, going once, going twice, I think we're ready to adjourn. Our next regular meeting is next month, and that will be June 19th. Same place, same time, 5:30 p.m. Thank you.